Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Psalm 145:8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. All of you are aware of the fact that we have been studying the wonderful Word of God, analyzing the fact that we find Jesus in every book of the Bible, especially now Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. We have already begun the study of the book of Daniel, but we're coming back to the first chapter again today, Daniel chapter 1. May we pray together before we begin our scripture reading and our study for this morning. Father, we are the recipients of your grace, manifested so beautifully in every area of life. We bow to express our thanks today for the grace of salvation. We realize that the Bible teaches us, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Our boasting today is in the fact that God loves us and that Christ died for us, and we're the recipients of that magnificent gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we're happy today and thankful today, and we praise you today for the fact that we are your children. We're thankful for salvation and grace. We're thankful also for living grace. You give us blessings every single day. We're the recipients of life. We're the recipients of logistical provisions. We're the recipients of your love and blessings every single moment of every single day. And we thank you for living grace. We're also aware of the fact that all of us as believers, one of these days, will leave this life, either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death. And we're thankful for the fact that you give to us ultimate grace. We thank you for that magnificent gift. Now, in these moments of study today, help us to be keenly aware of the fact that our purpose for being here is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. May we be attentive. May we be quiet. May we allow the Spirit of God to bless as we study his word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 1, the first 9 verses. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse 2 of Daniel chapter 1, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. He brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Verse 3, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Young people, youth, in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence, in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, who had ability for serving in the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. Verse 5 of chapter 1 of book of Daniel, and the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food, from the wine which he drank. He appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Verse 6, now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to the Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. It seems that each one of these verses is very, very important. But notice again verse 9. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. In analyzing these verses of Scripture, I decided that what I wanted to do was just say, Daniel, a background glimpse. I believe this will help us, if you'll listen attentively and carefully, to the introduction of Daniel chapter 1. Upon opening this book, the book of Daniel, we see the northern kingdom of Israel and Samaria, under great discipline. They had been destroyed as a nation in 721 B.C. by the Assyrian Empire. At the same time, the southern kingdom of Israel, known as Judah, was also under discipline and controlled first by the Assyrians, then for a short period of time by the Egyptians, and then finally by the Chaldeans. I'm aware of the fact that just giving you that information does not give you time to let it sink in. So I'm going to give you time to let it sink in. When we open the book of Daniel, we see the northern kingdom of Israel, which is Israel and Samaria, under great discipline. They had been destroyed as a nation in 721 B.C. by the Assyrian Empire. At the same time, the southern kingdom of Israel, known as Judah, was also under discipline and controlled first by the Assyrians, then for a short period of time by the Egyptians, and finally by the Chaldeans. The type of discipline they had included extreme economic adversity and military invasion by a foreign power. I give you time again to think about what is being said. The type of discipline that they had included extreme economic adversity. It also included military invasion by a foreign power. We must see that no nation in history can survive when there's a continuous rejection of the divine laws of establishment. I pause again to let you see that it appears to me that every line that I'm giving you needs to be repeated. We must see that no nation in history can survive when there is a continuous rejection of the divine laws of establishment. Most of us are aware of those laws of establishment. We've emphasized them from this pulpit many, many times over the past years. A nation marches to its own destruction when it refuses the principles of God's truth. I would like to encourage you and ask you and plead with you to write somewhere that line. A nation marches to its own destruction when it refuses the principles of God's truth. Why would I say this? Why do I need to say this? I need to say this in the light of our situation in the United States of America today. A nation marches to its own destruction when it refuses the principles of God's truth. You and I have this magnificent book. We have God's Word. This is the inspired Word of God. God has a message for us. We're responsible for receiving that message on a day-by-day basis. I believe that most of the people of our congregation are very serious students of the Word of God. And I'm convinced, and I thank God for this, that there's not a day that goes by when you do not take time out to pray and study the Word of God. It's important for you to do that. It's important for all of us to do that. and a nation marches to its own destruction when it refuses the principles of God's truth. Did you get that? Trust you did. Throughout the book of Daniel, we see, number one, how God blesses in times of adversity. Let me ask you to remember what I've just said. Throughout the book of Daniel, we're going to discover that God blesses in times of adversity. In God's word, we see many evidences of national discipline. We see intense suffering. And then we see, in the light of all of it, yet God's care and faithfulness to the people who've been born into God's family. Sometimes when I find myself standing here communicating information that I have thought through and have written down, it seems like I'm going entirely too rapid and for you to be able to get all of it. In God's word, we see many evidences of national discipline, and we see intense suffering, and yet we see God's faithfulness to the regenerate, the born again. What I'm trying to say is you have been born again. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Heaven is your eternal home. One of these days we'll go there. We're here now. God has a reason for us being here. And we have to understand that in God's word, we see many times when there's discipline, there's intense misery, and yet we see the faithfulness of God to those who've been born again. Secondly, we see that the Heavenly Father's rewards, that the Heavenly Father rewards spiritual faithfulness. We understand that God rewards spiritual faithfulness. History reveals that the nation of Israel reached a high peak between 516 B.C. and 323 B.C. If you've done any research, you've been able to see that the nation of Israel reached a high spiritual peak between 516 and 323 B.C., all because of obedience to biblical principles. There has to be obedience to biblical principles. Thirdly, on the other hand, we observe that God disciplined nations, as noted in the discipline of Assyria shortly before Daniel's captivity. This is a wonderful book. I thought that I would just spend a session or two, and I'm aware of the fact that it's going to be impossible for me to do that. This book is so magnificent. I've spent time in the first chapter. I've spent some time in the second chapter, reviewing, analyzing, trying to see what all is here. And I can tell you that I probably need to be preaching about 6 months on the book of Daniel. But I'm not going to do that. This wonderful book of Daniel shows us what we should do if taken over by a foreign power. I pause and let that sink in. This wonderful book, this book of Daniel, shows us what we should do if taken over by a foreign power. If we have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and our minds saturated with the biblical truths, notice please, we cannot ever be internally conquered. I should have put commas after each one of these words to let you see how powerful this thinking is. This book of Daniel shows us what we should do if taken over by a foreign power. If we have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, our minds saturated with the Word of God, we cannot ever be internally conquered. Now, that reminds me to ask you to go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. I trust you have your Bible open to chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 3 reveals that Ashpenaz was the minister of the royal palace, and as such held a very high position in the Chaldean Empire. Let me ask you to look at verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles. We'll look at those in a few moments, but let's just stop for a moment again to remind you that Daniel 1:3 reveals that Ashpenaz was the minister of the royal palace, and as such, held a very high position in the Chaldean Empire. In other words, he became responsible for the selection and the training of some of the captives. And many of these young men belonged to the family of David or other families of nobility in the tribe of Judah. I'm going to give you time to think about what is being said. I don't know why I'm doing this today, but I feel like it's important for me not to go so fast that you do not understand what is being presented here. Daniel 1:3 reveals that Ashpenaz was the minister of the royal palace, and as such, he had a very high position in the Chaldean Empire. He became responsible for the selection and training of the captives, and many of these young men belonged to the family of David or other families of nobility in the tribe of Judah. It appears that there was about 50 to 70 young boys who were taken at first. Let's look at this for a moment. 50 to 70 young men. If you'll go now with me to verse 4, let's look at it. It says, youths in whom was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Can you see how powerfully packed that verse is? Can you see all the various facets that are presented here? About 50 to 70 young men, young boys were taken at first. But then we see in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, it begins to itemize the qualifications that Ashpenaz looked for when he was selecting these king's hostages. I put on the screen for you to see, and I'll not take a lot of time, but I want you to see what type of individuals these young men were. First of all, no blemish. I just put down outward perfection. It says that they were good looking. I don't know what good looking is for a young man, but I want you to know that the scripture here says that they were good looking. It says that they were well favored, which I believe emphasizes the fact that they were physically handsome. It says then that they were skillful in wisdom. I conclude by that they had a high IQ. And then I notice that it says cunning in knowledge. When I thought about that, I just put down intellectual. These young men were to be brainwashed, learn Chaldean culture, and above all, to think like a Chaldean. Now, let me pause for a moment to tell you that we're living in a time of brainwashing. I want you to see this. If you're watching television and if you're reading the newspaper, if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself brainwashed. Now, notice here, these young men were to be brainwashed, learn Chaldean culture, and above all, to think like a Chaldean. When you read chapter 1, verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food, from the wine which he drank, and he appointed that they should be educated 3 years. I guess that's why I had to go to the seminary for so many years. 3 years for another bachelor's degree taking 3 years and then go on past that. But notice it says they were educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now, when you read the scripture, you have to not just read it so rapidly that you miss what is being said. When you look at verse 5, you will see that these were no ordinary prisoners. They were to be trained for 3 years and then personally examined by Nebuchadnezzar. Out of the dozens of young men, Our focus now is only on 4. Isn't that interesting? Did I tell you at the beginning 50 to 70? But now the scripture emphasizes, narrows that whole thing down till we're seeing an emphasis upon 4 individuals. I'll read it from verse 6. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. What I know about you is that most of you, if you hear anything about Daniel, you'll say, Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, you'll say that. The reason is because that's what you've heard most of your life. But notice their names. It says that their name was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, please notice again that out of the dozens of young men, our focus now goes from 70 to 50 and down now to 4. We've just read that in Daniel 1:6. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Well, they were not satisfied with that. They wanted to give them the names in the light of the brainwashing situation. Now let's remind ourselves of the meaning of these names. Daniel stands for the whole concept of judgment. Most of you are aware of the fact that Jesus Christ was judged for each one of us. When Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for the sins of the world, He was judged for you and for me. But when we accept Christ, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus took our judgment. Now that we're saved, no judgment. But the person who doesn't accept the plan of God and the provision of God, if they don't accept that, then there's judgment. Daniel, in 606 B.C., was taken captive, and he was a very unusual young man. I've already mentioned this last Sunday, and some of you remember it. Daniel was a most unusual young man. We could say that he was aristocratic, very good looking, highly intelligent, a genius, so to speak, and given the greatest of all Chaldean names now, Belteshazzar, which means Bel's prince. You may want to remember this. When names are changed here, they're changed not according to God's plan. They're changed according to the Chaldean emphasis. Bel's prince. Bel was the Akkadian god, the ruling god, equivalent to Zeus or Jupiter. Note, it is possible for brainwashing not to work. I have to tell you that you won't get this unless you're really paying attention. And you are. I appreciate that. I can see it because I look at this congregation and I can tell that you're paying attention to what is being said. Notice, brainwashing is possible not to work. His name was changed to Belteshazzar, a heathen facade. He had Chaldean clothes on now. In fact, he could look like someone related to the foreign gods. But on the inside of him, in his soul, the inner man, his soul, was not changed. Brainwashing, there's a possibility that it will not work. If you're listening, and I think you are, I'm telling you that we're living in a time of brainwashing. But if we have something in our souls, if we're captivated with Jesus Christ, if we are saturated with the Word of God, brainwashing will not work. His soul was not changed. His mind and soul had truth, much truth. And that cannot be obscured by a pagan exterior. Why do I put this in capital letters? Because the importance. He had something on the inside of his soul. And his soul was not changed. What about your soul? What about my soul? If our soul is captivated with Jesus Christ, and we are true students of the Word of God on a day-by-day basis, I promise you, brainwashing will not work. Notice, please, his mind and soul had truth, much truth. And that cannot be obscured by a pagan exterior. Let's look at the next name, Hananiah. The word Hananiah means the Lord is gracious. What a beautiful name. The members of the Trinity are gracious. But that name was changed to Shadrach, which means illumined by the sun god. Another attempt to obscure the power of the members of the Godhead. Could I pause for a moment to tell you that everyone in this auditorium is fully aware of the fact that there's deity one, deity two, and deity three. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The name changed to Shadrach, which means illuminated by the sun god. Another attempt to obscure the power of the members of the Godhead. The next name, Mishael, means who and what is the Lord? God's grace, never earned or deserved by any one of us. But the name that was taken into captivity and the name changed to Meshach, meaning who and what is Venus? Who and what is Ishtar? Well, let's move rapidly again. The name Azariah, which means the Lord is my help. Do you see that each one of these names, beautiful names with beautiful meanings, but the brainwashing was trying to take place, and so the names were changed. Azariah. This young man must have had great parents who taught him from the time he was a tiny child. I pause for a moment to tell you that it's wonderful when you have the privilege of using memory. When we went through these movies this last week, these last few days, analyzing what took place in 1999, when we had our church congregation to meet, and we rejoiced over the fact that the Lord had allowed me to be in the ministry for 50 years at that time, 17 years ago. And there we had little Mackenzie, who's now, 20 years of age. She was 3 years of age. I held her up, and she sang, "Jesus Loves Me." Can you imagine what that does to your mind when you go back? And then I looked over that congregation, and I spotted some of you folks. My, you look so young then. The Lord is my help. The young man must have had great parents who taught him from the time he was a tiny child, placing him in the Lord's hand, caring and keeping. Now his name was changed to Abednego, meaning the servant or the slave of Nego, and an Akkadian name, which means the God of wisdom and education. Can you see how powerful this book of Daniel is? We must see here that academic training is outstanding. I'm not minimizing for one moment. I'm not disgrading the point of education. We must see that academic training is outstanding, wonderful. For a profession, it must be. But the wrong type of education can destroy a soul that's not steeped in the Word of God. This is always what I fear about our young people when they go off to college. I'm concerned for them that their minds are not contaminated with some of the concepts and ideas that some professors have today. I'm not putting them all down because I don't believe that all of them are that way. But I tell you what, you train those children when they're young so that when they go off to college, they'll be able to see the difference between what is right on the one hand and what is wrong on the other hand. We must see here that academic training is outstanding, wonderful. For a profession, it is a must. But the wrong type of education can destroy a soul not steeped in the Word of God. By education, the Chaldeans were attempting to change Bible-believing nobility into pagan aristocracy. You know what? I ought to just stop right there. But I'm not through. I'm not through. Let me quickly ask you to write 10 points down. Lessons from this book of Daniel chapter 1. I won't have time to go into detail, but I do want you to see it. When I looked at Daniel chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, I saw individuals and nations being disciplined by the Heavenly Father. When I looked at the first two verses of Daniel chapter 1, I saw individuals and nations disciplined by the Heavenly Father. When I moved on down to Daniel chapter 1 verse 7, I saw that truth is often obscured by religion. I saw that truth is often obscured by religion. Are you hearing me? Religion. Revealed by the name changes of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The third thing I noticed when I went down to verse 10, I saw God's viewpoint always results in right decisions and right living. It's important for you to put this down. God's viewpoint, studying the Word of God, seeing from God's vantage point, always, always results in right decisions and right living. Very, very important. I saw something else when I continued to look at verse 10. Often individuals in high position and who have great authority tend to be very insecure and frightened. That's true. Let's think about it. When you look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 10, often individuals who are in positions of high leadership, who have great authority, sometimes, and so often, it is true, they tend to be insecure and frightened. When I made my way to verses 17 and 19, the fifth thing I noticed is, when a person is perceptive to God and to His Word, he will normally be extremely high in academics. One of the things that I've noticed over the years, and it's been so wonderful for me to see little children in our Bible classes and growing up here and getting married and going off to college and all these things, to see the academic training and see that they were excelling in high academic schedule. Daniel 1, 17 and 19, when a person is perceptive to God and His Word, he will normally be extremely high in academics. The next thing I noticed, number 6, when I went to Daniel 1, 19, a person who puts God first and is sincerely desirous of truth will normally be blessed with a great spiritual IQ. Not only academic IQ, but spiritual IQ. This is the thing that thrills me when I realize that my responsibility is to continue to communicate God's Word so that people will have a high spiritual IQ. I notice also when I went to Daniel chapter 1 verse 20, God always uses prepared people. Are you prepared? God always uses prepared people. I found that in Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. Then number 8, when I went to Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, these are lessons I've learned from chapter 1 of Daniel. God always honors faithfulness. God always honors faithfulness. I wish that all of you would be able to take all of these points down and look at them over and over again. God always honors faithfulness. when I went to Daniel chapter 20, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, that's what always happens to me when I'm trying to speak fast. I find that I get my tongue all tangled up. But anyway, you didn't get that. Daniel chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. God never leaves himself without a witness. God never leaves himself without a witness. And then when I went to point 10, I sat there and thought about this for a few moments. In fact, quite a few moments. And I came to the conclusion I needed to say, when a believer has a spiritual house of the soul, there will be normal resistance to brainwashing. Would you take that line down? When a believer has developed, grown up, advanced, and has a spiritual house constructed, there will be a normal resistance to brainwashing. What is really important in life is the character of our souls. Believers are not to be put priorities on personalities, but on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This Daniel chapter 1 is a magnificent chapter, friends. I would encourage you to read it over many, many times, because in the next session, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2. May we bow for a moment of prayer. How wonderful it is to study God's word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. We have the responsibility as believers to grow and to advance, to love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, put him first in our lives. Not be brainwashed, but be able to have something in our souls that's eternal, that's internal and eternal. For those who hear the message today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may I tell you in these closing moments that the great decision, the greatest decision ever to be made in life, is to accept the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Does it say hope so or maybe so? It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was Jesus who was willing to leave heaven's glory, come to this earth as the God-man and die on the cross for your sins. That's the reason why he is saying today to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This tells us without doubt that there's only one way of salvation, and that's faith alone in Christ alone. Father, thank you so much for your magnificent love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Open my lips, I will sing your praise forever. Open my lips, O Lord, I will sing. I will sing.